I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. Reading from the New King James Version. This is Paul writing to this church at Colossae. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Over the past few weeks, we have seen this DVD on the story of Martin Luther, the early part of his life, and hopefully been encouraged by it. 500 years ago, that's a lot of history, and I'm sure you don't want to hear a repetition of all that history, but just a few thoughts on Luther and the Reformation and others and what it means to me. I'm not a Lutheran, I never have been. I've never belonged in membership to a church that is called a Reformed. I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, starting from verse 1. Reading from the New King James Version. This is Paul writing to this church at Colossae. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Over the past few weeks, we have seen this DVD on the story of Martin Luther, the early part of his life, and hopefully been encouraged by it. 500 years ago, that's a lot of history, and I'm sure you don't want to hear a repetition of all that history, but just a few thoughts on Luther and the Reformation and others and what it means to me. I'm not a Lutheran, I never have been. I've never belonged in membership to a church that is called a Reformed church of any sort. When I became a Christian, I started out going to the assemblies and have been in them ever since. And the assemblies don't always talk much about the Reformed faith and about Luther. we have, in a way, our own history dating back a couple of centuries to the likes of John Darby and Anthony Groves, and what happened before then. I would dare to suggest that had there been no Reformation, there may well not have been any assemblies as we know them. So I've been conscious ever since I started out on the Christian pathway of these people, these reformers, and indeed over the years some of my computer passwords have been based upon either their names or various other things which I've changed over the years. I see them as a formative part of Christian history and something that is of benefit to us today. But of course, that's only 500 years ago. It was about 1400 odd years prior to that. What was the church doing? We've mentioned in the past people like John Wycliffe. We've mentioned in the past people like Huss. And still that's only 700 or 800 years ago. Was the church prior to that a complete waste of time and a waste of effort? Is there nothing to be learned from it? Well, of course, there is. Down through the years, the church has always had an effect